This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode 88. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the episode. This is Darren Meller, and you are joined by thousands of photographers around the world, and we do not single anyone out, whether you are an avid iPhone shooter, tablet shooter, mother who just wants to get better pictures of her child playing sports, or a seasoned professional. This is your one-stop shop for photography knowledge, geekery, and finding a little bit more about Jim and I, who host this podcast. This week, the podcast will be hosted by me, and Jim will be back in the next episode to share some photography knowledge and geekery with you. In this episode, I'd like to take the time to talk about Jim's visit to Babcock State Park in West Virginia, where he just landed most recently. His camera taking a dip. Ooh, that made my heart just quiver the first time I read that. We'll also talk a little bit about Memory Pixel Photography, which is my photography company, and the two people who make it up, which is myself, Darren Meller, and Dale Meller, and give you a little bit of brief background information on how we got to where we are today. Also, I'd like to share a little bit of insight on how I stay motivated, inspired, and dedicated in building my business, my name, and my knowledge when it comes to photography. First and foremost, we know that Jim has been traveling quite a bit, and he has been traveling many miles quite a bit, so hopefully he's racking up some frequent flyer miles with one airline or another, or hopefully he can merge them all together into some awesome trip down the road, because we all know he's going to Iceland very soon. He just got back from Portland, and he's fresh on the ground at Babcock State Park, and he will be returning on the next episode. I wish the group from the Improved Photography Travel Group all the best of luck in Babcock State Park. I know it's an amazing experience. Just think about it. Jim and other fans of the Improved Photography community, they put together these awesome places based on their experience of photographing there, just looking through Google images and finding a scene that they like and say, well, I think I can do a little bit better job, but I do like what's going on here and the elements within the photo, and I really think I can take and tell a story with this photo. It's so amazing how this group comes together and creates a destination. Every person who signs up for any of these trips has to do is just pay their own expenses. It is completely free, besides having to pay your expenses for travel, lodging, eating if you'd like to eat, and splitting the cost of rental cars if necessary, tour guides, and other incidentals that may come up. But otherwise, the knowledge that you get from Jim is free, and that is so cool that he does that. I mean, he teaches things on photoclasses.com alongside Dustin Olson that they're a great value. I've watched the videos over and over again as an instructor and as a student in the past, and I can't believe that the photos were priced at such a value. And you get such great interaction. You get to work with both Jim and I on questions. We usually send you audio responses back to your photos, trying to offer you feedback on how to improve. And you can check that all out by going to photoclasses.com, which is an awesome resource that Jim and Dustin Olson created. And I happen to be one of the instructors on that as well. So either way, you'll be hearing from Jim or I if you have any questions if you sign up for photoclasses.com. Otherwise, what's going on in the news is I really just want to take this time, since Jim is out of town, to introduce myself more formally. I'm Darren Meller, as you know. I've been on the podcast for quite a few episodes, and Jim did something really magnificent. One day I got back from Europe. I was still kind of jet-lagged and getting used to the central time zone schedule, and I just saw this post come across there, and I thought it was just that desert mirage type thing going on where it just said, Improved Photography is looking for an independent contractor or contributor for the website. Here are your skills. Here's the requisites. Here's what you need to do to apply. And I thought to myself, gosh, I don't want to throw my hat in the ring. I'm not even sure if I'm nearly as qualified as some of these people who would be applying as well. But the cool thing was is that Jim gave me a shot. And I put my hat in there, and I talked with Jim, and he and I clicked, and I think that we click when we talk on the show a lot. He's always been a mentor of mine. And to be quite honest, I'll tell you a little story that the first time that Dustin and Jim had that episode where they announced that Dustin was going to be leaving the show, my heart sunk, but also this little glimmer of hope came over me, and it said, wouldn't it be so darn amazing to be able to work next to my mentor? This guy was the first person who I started listening to a podcast where it actually made a difference in my photography. I went out blindly and bought a Canon 6D just on a whim because I thought a 60D would have done me justice, but for some reason, me being stubborn and talking with the salesperson who was on commission said, you want to buy a camera that you're not going to grow out of very soon. So I bought the 6D and I was shooting in automatic mode. I was shooting in aperture priority, shutter priority, and not knowing what I was doing by going from F4 to F6 to F8. I knew it was producing better shots sometimes, but I didn't know the why behind it. And then I stumbled upon the Improved Photography podcast and website, and it's all just been history since. It's just been such an amazing experience to be able to go to the website, look information up. For instance, the first time I tried astrophotography with my father, I went to the website and looked up how to shoot the Milky Way, looked at the settings, realized that my dad had an edge on me this time because he had an f2.8 lens that was a little bit wider than mine as far as the focal length on the wide end. And it's always been great because whenever I have a question, there's Google. But guess what? A lot of those questions, if they're related to photography, it usually comes back with improvephotography.com. So I can't express how thankful I am to be a part of your community, to be a part of this show and be an instructor on photoclasses.com. Each day it is humbling, and I'm so happy for those that support me. I'm happy for those who give me constructive feedback on my work and how to improve as a host and anything else when it comes to the podcast. So thank you all for being such a great community and for taking the time out of your schedule to listen to this podcast each and every week. As Jim and I sincerely hope that each time you listen, it adds at least one little nugget of value to your photography skills so you can take things to the next level. As far as getting out and shooting, I've been busy as well. I can't say that I've been as busy as Mr. Jim Harmer, but I can say that I am valuing my time a lot as well. Jim is able to travel with his family, and I think that one thing that Jim and I identified with is the importance of family. And one really awesome aspect is I get to shoot alongside my father. My father is Dale Meller. He is the other half of Memory Pixel Photography. He is surpassing me on Pixoto because he has a little bit more free time now that he's retired from working for one of the largest railroad companies in the United States for 41 years. And instead of playing golf or sitting on the couch and watching reruns of American Pickers or Pawn Stars or something like that, he decided to do some consulting on the time on the side and also join me with photography. He's been shooting ever since he was a little kid. He picked up a camera when he was younger, saved up for the film, knew exactly how many shots he could get per roll, knew when he started to get into flash photography how much he needed to save up for each flash shot, because back then, believe it or not, the light bulb inside the flashes would actually just shatter, it'd explode, it'd be a one-time exposure and you had to replace it. And all those costs just kind of built up. And I do have to commend my dad because he's a great person. But as soon as he found out that he was going to have a son, he quit hunting, he quit his photography, kind of put everything on the back burner and put it in a little side drawer and focused on me and being a good father. And that's really awesome. That's commendable. And then his job started requiring that he did photography of different situations, of train derailments, of accidents that happened with trains, broken rails, things along those lines. So they started giving him a camera to use all the time. So when those first Nikons came out that had like the tilt and swivel screens and whatnot, he had one of those first cameras, and I thought it was pretty darn impressive. And I bet there were DSLRs back then, but heck, I was 8 or 9 years old at that time, and now I'm closer to 30, but I thought it was still pretty impressive to see those images come right up versus having them even take a second to come up from a Polaroid camera. I thought, what is this magic machine that you have in your hand? And it's just been, it's been a great organic experience. And the cool thing was is that every year the railroad would make my dad upgrade cameras, and they would buy his old one, and he would ask what to do with, or buy him a new one and ask what he would do with the old one. They said, either give it away, throw it away, do with what you want with it, because they did take a beating. And after a while, he started buying, you know, nice cameras that the railroad was paying for, and he would buy me less expensive digital cameras. And I don't really remember going a Christmas without a digital camera, and that was pretty sweet. I wish that, honestly, I would have paid more attention to photography as a youngster. I do remember back in Cheyenne, Wyoming, where I'm from, they have Cheyenne Frontier Days, which is the largest rodeo in the world outdoors, and he would always very, very reluctantly get me one of those little cameras from the gas station or drugstore where you'd wind it up. You'd have 24, 25 exposures. Probably 24 if I remember correctly. If I say the 25th exposure, some people are probably going to laugh. But that's just that I think I'm a digital kid when it comes down to it. But regardless, he would hand me that camera and I think he would just say a couple of prayers and say, okay, how many photos can we get out of this camera? Please let there be more than six shots out of this camera that don't have Darren's finger in front of the lens. And it worked out really well. Since then, he got me digital cameras. I would always shoot them some things. I didn't really have a perspective on things. I knew that I saw things a little bit differently as a child, and I wish that I would have gone straight down the path of photography and done photography inside, you know, went to actual photo schools like university for photography. But I'm really happy I went down the path that I did in life. I did an undergraduate degree in communication arts. My bachelor's is in that. And here we're wrapping up week number 9 in my master's program. And after that, I only have 2 classes before I have a master's of science and management, which is just a fancy way of saying it's a master, an MBA minus the accounting and statistics portion of it. And it has a little bit more focus on leadership and human resource policies and things like that. It pretty much says, this guy probably doesn't know as much about accounting and he's probably going to hire an accountant. But anyway, I'm really happy I went down this path and that I'm part of the improved photography community, and that each and every weekend I get to go out and shoot with my dad, and he's just as excited about photography as I am. It all started when he bought his first DSLR after having a Canon A1 SLR camera back, 20, 30 years ago. He bought a little Canon SL1, and I'm not dogging on the T3Is or the smaller crop sensor cameras, but he and I went across the state of Iowa to the Mississippi River to photograph some bald eagles because we had heard on that side of the state we could get probably 10, 11, even upwards of 17 bald eagles in one shot if we went out there right in the morning when they started fishing. And he got out there and started shooting with his little SL1 and liked it, but just something just didn't click for him. And then he grabbed my 6D because I had bought a second one as a backup camera, and he's never looked back. And he's just been so passionate. He's been a trooper. Just when I told him in February I was going to go to Europe after he and I did the bald eagle shoot, he said, well, I'd like to go with you with some part of that, but I do have a consulting gig, when you're going. So I said, well, I'm going to be there for 46 days. Why not join me? So he flew over and met me in Amsterdam, and luckily I showed up, otherwise it probably would have been a little bit less of a fun trip for him. But I met him in Amsterdam and he traveled around with me for 19 of those 46 days, and we went everywhere in Europe from Amsterdam all the way to the Czech Republic, to Hungary, to Austria, and made my second trip back through Italy and saw different parts of Italy I never thought I would have seen, like Tuscany and everything like that. In 2014, we've been across the country, been to a different continent, and 2015 is only looking up as we plan to visit other continents around the world and different other various spots in the United States. I mean, there really is no excuse to be able to say, my gosh, I don't know what to photograph anymore, because honestly, if you can just take the time to walk out in your backyard and look at things differently, you can come out with some pretty solid photos. For instance, there's this Kate Shelley High Bridge that my dad and I went to the morning of Thursday while the podcast was being uploaded, and it was quite funny because he and I were heading out there in the evening as the podcast was being uploaded to the website so you all could listen to it on Thursday. But Wednesday evening, we drove halfway across the state and went north to Ames, Iowa, where Iowa State University is, to photograph the Kate Shelley High Bridge. And there's a long history behind the bridge, and it just pretty much comes down to it's a gorgeous structure that was built with trestles, and we've put a lot of practice to the landscape techniques that Jim and I talked about a couple episodes ago, with blocking out the sun creatively. And Dad was even there to keep me in check and talk about making sure I didn't get too auto exposure bracket happy or started stacking my exposure values so I could get an HDR shot. So it was just really an amazing experience, and it only took about 3 hours to drive up there, spend the night in a hotel for $50, or after tax was closer to $60, and hope that we didn't get bed bugs in the morning before we took off and showered. So anyway, I think there really is no excuse to not get out there and shoot. So that's really what it comes down to. And we'll go ahead and talk about some more topics here, but I'd like to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors today. Improved Photography would like to thank our sponsor today, Swirl. Swirl is a photo framing app available first on iPhone. The free Swirl app allows you to print, frame, deliver beautifully wrapped images quickly and easily all from your iPhone in less than 3 minutes. You get high quality frames in 4 different colors, and both are available in wall and desk frames. Frames vary from 4x6s all the way up to 16x20 inch prints. That's pretty darn large. Affordable prices are big for me, especially being on a budget as a professional photographer. So including delivery, you can start out as low as $19.99. And with this 20% discount code IMPROVE, you can get printed, framed, and delivered photos with a special gift wrapping message for $16.99. Try Swirl with framing app for now for 20% off with your first order with the offer code IMPROVE at getswirl.com. That is www.getswirl.com. We'd like to thank Swirl for sponsoring the Improved Photography podcast in this episode. All right, as we were teasing back earlier in the episode, Jim's Nikon D810 took a dip. It took a dip into a chlorine-filled bath of death, unfortunately. And the good thing is, and there's always a silver lining, I hope, is that he came out with some fantastic photos of an Olympic gold medalist swimmer. And that is when I first saw the photo, was when he posted one of them where she was jumping in the water and everything was in focus. You could see all of her muscles contracted and she was just ready to just sprint in the water and go as fast as she could. But apparently that camera took a dip into the water, and at least the compact flash or SD card made it through, so he was able to come out with some good shots. And I think the Jim's prepared because he's out in West Virginia. He either is using another camera or he's shooting with a replacement D810, but we'll see what he has to say when he gets back. That's going to be a very interesting story to hear. All right, another thing I'd like to talk about is memory pixel photography and how we came up with the name. Pretty much, I like to equate memory pixel photography as kind of to improve photography in a lot of senses. When I first started, I wanted to be a free photographer. I think that sounds kind of audacious, and Jim and I both agree we should be paid for our work because it is an art form. But I wanted to try to use advertising money to pay for my photography, which really wouldn't have worked because then I would have had to been sponsored by people and kind of told what to do as being a sponsor and things along those lines. So I didn't really go down that avenue. But one thing I really wanted to do was practice a little bit of search engine optimization. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that is pretty much an indicator to Google for when people search for certain things for it to come up with your website. So if people were to search Darren Meller, it would come up with the various sources where I've been tagged on websites and things like that. If you put your own name in on the internet, you would see where you're tagged, etc. And I figured, well, I want a catchy name that might come up in different searches. So all of the aspects of the name, memory, pixel, and photography, are all interrelated. You could have megapixels, you could have flashcard memory, compact flash memory, megapixels, photography, professional photography. I just figured I would hodgepodge all those names together in a hopefully creative way and create a photography company. And we formed an LLC in December of 2013 and never looked back. As I said when I first came on the show, I made a really daring leap, and to a lot of people it seemed very haphazard. It seemed like it was unplanned, but I do have to say that in between June of 2013 and December of 2013, there was a lot of planning. There was a lot of financial planning. There was a lot of what-ifs. There was a lot of, okay, if I don't get paid for 9 months next year in 2014, can I afford to pay my bills? Do I have everything to cover everything? Do I have money saved up in case I need to go on a trip and build my portfolio? What do I need to do? And a lot of planning went into that. And I do say that it is a big leap, and it is something that's probably not going to be appropriate for everybody out there. So I don't recommend it to everybody out there because it was bold. It was very bold and very brazen. And I did have two options. I had sink or swim, but plan B was always just a different way to paddle and try to find a way to survive. Luckily, like I said, I do have an awesome business partner who made some great financial decisions as he was working his way up in a very large railroad company. He is very fiscally responsible, keeps me in check, and definitely slows down the Amazon packages from arriving at my front door as often as I would like, but also helps us make some very reasonable, prudent, and pragmatic business decisions. So I do have to thank my dad for that. I came up with the name, but I think that every photography company, whether it's your spouse, a friend, a family member, or even someone you hire, you need to have someone that is ruthlessly pragmatic and someone who's going to give you a level head and look at things from an objective standpoint. It's great to be a creative. It's great to go out and take shots that are wonderful and jaw-dropping and finding new angles that are going to make people say, whoa, you know, things like that are fun. Things like that are what really make me get up in the morning and make my blood pump. But you have to have someone who is also grounded that says, okay, have we paid these bills yet? Have we followed up with this customer yet? Have we sent an invoice out yet? All these things are crucial for repeat customers to continue to be able to buy gear, to be able to continue to travel, and to be able to continue to thrive. So photography is fun. It can be a hobby, but once you turn it into a business, it changes the dynamic a lot. Yes, I still shoot for the thrill, but also in the back of my mind, every time I look through the viewfinder, I try to make sure that I'm taking a picture and I think to myself, how is this going to add value either to my knowledge, to my company, or to someone I might share this with who has a question on it, because now, you know, I'm doing instruction as far as being a instructor on photoclasses.com. So it definitely changes your perspective. And a student asked a while ago about the dynamic of when to be paid and stuff like that. It does change the way you approach things. It definitely puts a lot more pressure on you to pull off the shoot and do a good job. But as long as you show competence and you don't have any delays or any moments where they're noticing that you're second guessing yourself, they're going to put 100% of faith in you. And as long as you put your best effort forward and work with other photographers and network with other photographers, I think you're going to be just fine. And that's another point I wanted to talk about as well, was to make sure that you don't just haphazardly look on Facebook for a group that might be in your area. Let's say you live in Tampa, Florida, and there's no Tampa Photographers Network on Facebook. Jim and I mentioned to create your own group. That's a great way to start. Start inviting your friends. If that's not, you know, broad enough and it's too narrow of a scope, say, you know, Florida Photographers Network, or do one Photographers Network of the South, do something like that to where you can just find a nice community where you can upload pictures on Facebook in a group and have it be a closed group to where people have to, you know, ask to join, kind of make sure they're from the state, and just post stuff on there just so they can ask for constructive feedback. They can ask for, you know, instruction on, in a pinch, on how do I mask out these acne spots from this teenager? How do I mask out these acne scars from her mom who had acne as well without making them look airbrushed or fake or like a porcelain doll? Things like that are just crucial. Or, hey, I'm new to the state. Where do I go to photograph this type of situation? I just think that the networking is so key. I mean, this weekend, my dad and I were at a camera store, I was picking up my doodad of the week, which I'll talk about here soon, but he was also looking at a 24-70 Tamron lens, and he and I are big Canon shooters and we're big proponents of Canon glass and everything, but he found out that when it came down to it, the 24-70 f2.8 Canon had VC, which is their version of image stabilization on Canon, but they call it vibration control on Tamron. And it turned out it's going to be a great lens for him. It's going to save him some money, and he's going to have the ability of having a little bit of image stabilization to help him out, to make sure that he has that peace of mind when certain situations, when he's shooting freehand off a tripod and needs a little bit of support trying to stabilize that image. So it was all because I am a strong believer that no matter how far I go with photography, and this is where Jim is a shining example and so is Dustin, is that if you can just check your ego at the door, no matter how much you know about photography, it's going to attract so many other people to ask you questions, to share their knowledge with you, their insight, and just bond with you, because they'll just feel that you're approachable. I've learned so much from people that I've done photography with. I did a photo walk, the weekend before last. I bruised up my knee. It looks pretty gnarly right now. But guess what? I had a fun time, and it was so cool to walk along other photographers and see us walk through the exact same passageways, the exact same areas of the town, and come out with so many different perspectives. That's just so exciting to be able to know people that you get to meet who listen to the Improved Photography podcast, and also people who subscribe to different Facebook groups and things like that. It's awesome just to put it all together and have that nice network of friends who can help you out in a pinch. Like, even if you're shooting a wedding and your second shooter calls in sick on you, in the worst case scenario, you could have a friend out there in one of those networks that'll be able to help you in a pinch. All right. One other thing I'd like to talk about in this episode is stressing what Jim and I talked about a couple episodes ago of shooting a different location at a different time of year. Beyond shooting the Kate Shelley High Bridge in Iowa, we made about another 10-minute drive to the Ledges State Park in Iowa. This is a beautiful place year-round, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's covered with nice sandstone everywhere, and there's rivers that run on both sides of it, and it's just, it's almost like walking through shallow rivers and creeks of Colorado where the rivers begin in the mountains after we've had the big melt and they just start to dry up, but there's still kind of little tiny streams of water flowing through it. That's what it's like in August. Around this time of the year, it's not as accessible to be able to walk on the riverbed, but it does create a lot more interesting photos. So my father and I headed over there on Thursday after photographing the bridge at sunrise and took the time to photograph and walk 6 miles. And this is why I cannot stress Gore-Tex hiking boots enough. 6 miles through water, through mud, making our own little rock bridges to cross there while handing tripods, gear bags, and things like that across water while doing a hop, skip, and a jump. And when I'm a 6'2" guy that's rather large, a hop, skip, and a jump is more humorous than it is tactical. But we made it through, and it was just really neat because we were in an area where it was so secluded and so beautiful. There's one shot my dad came out with that if all the leaves were yellow and golden and didn't have any reds or any other indicative colors of non-aspens, you would have thought he took that photo inside Colorado, inside, you know, around Aspen or around Glenwood Springs or somewhere like that, just in the prime time. I mean, this is awesome. This is one of the few years in my recollection of living in Iowa where the leaves have really turned colors before just blowing off in a massive windstorm. So we were really fortunate to have that. And that's the point, is that you have to be able to hop in your car and even drive 20 miles, 30 miles, go somewhere you've never been, go to a side of town you haven't been, as long as it's safe and you can go there during the day, do some street photography, find some old signs from abandoned buildings, just stay inspired by finding things new. I guarantee that even if it's boring, if you haven't seen it before, it's new and it might inspire you, especially if you're looking through a viewfinder and you have that photography-minded switch in your brain on when you go and arrive on destination. I mean, that was one thing I really found out, besides injuring myself on a photo walk, that I learned that I need to watch where I'm stepping, is that if you can just take the time to find a new perspective, it can mean the world to you, your photography, and your inspiration to stay motivated and keep shooting. Well, anyway, hopefully I didn't bore you today with my story here, but as always, before Jim arrives, I'd like to leave you with my doodad of the week that I teased upon a little bit earlier. My doodad of the week is the Canon 16-35 f2.8L version 2 ultrasonic motor lens. This is a wide-angle lens, and it's great for urban, landscape, and even portrait photography. And I really noticed the urban and landscape photography capabilities when I was in Europe. As I said earlier, I traveled throughout Europe with a buddy of mine and my father. My buddy joined me for the first 30 days, and he was shooting a T3i with his exact same lens, and he loves it. He did some awesome time-lapse stuff, and I was always disappointed with my dad because he has a 24-70 non-image stabilization Tamron lens and did some night photography because he had f2.8 aperture, and we did some astrophotography the same night, and I was a little bit upset because I had my 70-200 f2.8, and based on recommendations that we read, we wanted to shoot at f2.8 just to try to get a certain shot, and I was just a little bit miffed that I didn't have that fast aperture on my 24-105 that went down to f4, so I didn't have to turn it on bold mode and get some, you know, star trails and streaking and stuff like that. So I was a little bit miffed at that, but we saved some money. I was able to swing this lens, and I love it. I have shot with it in Europe. I've shot with it, you know, in the camera store and whatnot when I picked it up last Thursday, but I have not really had the time to go out and shoot it here recently. But from what my friends have said who have shot this, from what my peers have said who have shot this lens, and from the tiny amount of time I've spent shooting this lens, I am so excited about it. It is a pricier lens, about $1,600, but Canon is running a $150 mail-in rebate on it, to where you can get $150 back from Canon in the form of, I think, American Express gift card or something along those lines. But mainly, if you can find an inexpensive piece of gear, like I looked at the 50mm f1.4 lens here recently, I think it was a 1.4 lens, and it was such a nice little lens. And I think that if you can find something just to add to your portfolio or your photography studio equipment is what I meant to say. I think it'll really help you get to the next level. And even if it's something as simple as a camera bag, a strap for your camera that enables you to hike in deeper into the woods, any little thing that'll help you take your photography to the next level is essential. So I'm not saying go out and buy this lens here. It's just a pretty darn nice, gnarly lens, and I can't wait to shoot it more and give you some more insight on it. But anyway, like I said, Jim will be joining us here on the next episode of the Improved Photography Podcast, and I thank you so much for the download, and thank you for joining me today. And Jim will be back, as usual, on Thursday for the next episode. We have a lot up our sleeves. We have a lot to talk to you about. There's been a lot going on with photo news. We have student questions that have poured in, and we are eager to answer those. So thank you so much once again for the download, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.